welcome back to nowhere.
It's a good place.
It is a good place, and we haven't been here in a minute.
Oh, no, we have not.
Yeah, we have been way too many somewheres.
We've been a lot of somewheres.
We've been a lot of somewheres, and the world has been so many somewheres.
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed it has. So, not enough nowhere.
Yeah, so we talked back in January as we were thinking about this upcoming year of podcasting together. We talked just about the whole going nowhere. Originally was this whole idea that it's present. It's you know, the world is chaos, but we could just be quiet and present in the moment. But it's taken on a new meaning.
It has. It definitely has. It's morphed.
That, yeah, I'm here. You're here. We're going nowhere.
Yeah, we were kind of on a hiatus for a while, and not really intentional, but I think a lot of that kind of developed as we were on hiatus and seeing how things were happening around us.
It did, and I think a lot of it prompted the hiatus and just caused us to pause and say, who do we need to be? What do we need to be? What do we need to be bringing into the world? What do we need to be making and creating and building into this space right now? And so, we've just given ourselves a lot of permission to be where we need to be when we need to be there, and for each other, for our world, for our families, and our immediate space. So, but I have missed you.
Oh my goodness. I've missed you. Well, actually, I haven't missed you too much
we did get to see each other, and we have kept in touch. It's not like,
we haven't talked since last podcast,
right.
At all, yeah. But I missed you in this
I've missed doing this with you.
Missed doing this with you. Yep.
Yeah. So how are you? I mean,
Better than the last time we recorded.
It was kind of derailed, I think is the word that came.
Yeah, I remember. It's funny because that was a time where I look back and I know that I have like patchy memories because I was in crisis, really. I was. I said my life derailed and it had. And I can't, this is the interesting part. I mean, nothing has, circumstantially, not a lot has changed for me. But I am learning, how to make my own, I don't want to say make my own way because it's not like that kind of thing. It's more like make my own peace, make my own safety, make my own decisions, and just kind of walk into my own authority in my life a little bit. And I think that is regulating, because I think that a lot of times when chaos is swirling around you, which in my personal life it has been, and in our world it has been, when the chaos really starts, it's dysregulating, and you don't know so much in that not knowing, and that that fear that comes from not knowing, I think creates another layer of upset and trauma and all kinds of bad things. So when I felt all my feelings, and then I started to slowly realize, hey, you know, I can be for me what I need to be. And that helped.
It's been a fascinating journey to watch from here, and not just to be like, oh, we're so proud of you. We are. I mean, I am. But because I see so much a reflection of the journey that I've been on, the journey I still need to take. And so, I mean, there is truly a co-creation that's happening as we face crisis together. And I've really appreciated the vulnerability that we've been able to share. And
it's been good. The growth, it's been really good.
That gets to come from that. Our time in Atlanta at Q Christian Fellowship, which we'll talk about more in some future podcasts, but was sacred. I'm going to use the word sacred.
I think it's a good word
for that.
And we made a lot of our own space there. Like, even though we were surrounded by so many people that we enjoyed spending time with, And we did. We also made our own little sacred sort of space where we were able to, even at 5 a.m, which I'm never having conversations at 5 a.m, but yet here we were.
We had some really amazing, amazing times there. So, yeah.
You know, what has been coming to the surface for you?
Yeah, so it's been an era of reading legislation and keeping up with executive orders and
fun stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, a phrase that we're going to start using on the podcast a lot that we picked up in Atlanta was agitate without being agitated. Really shifting our focus to this idea that we can pursue peace as a means of resistance. And I'm not talking about nonviolent resistance, which we can talk about and we should talk about, but also that ability to self-regulate, like you said, that making of self within self, that agency that we get to create that says, I am responsible. I get to maintain my sense of peace. I get to maintain joy in spite of what everything else is saying about me. So as a trans intersex person who legislation and politicians are actively trying to marginalize, you know, foreign countries are reaching out saying, we will help you with refugee status if you need to get out. It's terrifying. I couldn't have ever imagined that this is the America that I would be calling home. But, you know, it is my home, and it's going to be my home. And
for you to be happy here.
For me to be happy here, and for me to be present for others who need to find their way through this space, there needs to be peace. There needs to be joy. I need to give myself permission to laugh at something. You know, I'm not going to fiddle while the city burns.
Right. Because sometimes it does feel like we're doing that.
It does. Yeah. It feels to laugh at a joke while people are hurting and suffering and living in fear feels like a betrayal of the moment sometimes. But we have to give ourselves that space. And so just learning to find that balance and learning to find where that lasts. And it's been just a really great time of doubling down on those friendships, doubling down on those trusted relationships, you know, knowing where those spaces are and seeing where those spaces are, and then allowing those people in those places to become platforms for me to stand on and, you know, start to move from and move in and through the world with it. Cautiously and taking care of myself in the process. So it's a journey. It's going to be a long one. This is not a sprint. This is
not at all.
So it's going to be a ride.
It's going to be a wild, wild ride, but, you know, wild rides can be fun. They have can have good moments.
They can have good moments. They can have terrifying moments.
They can. And
yeah, we just need to be present.
Yeah.
For all of them. So our past episodes, we've had a lot more structure to them. I'm giving myself permission as a producer to relax a little bit. And so we're going to open with these conversations of you and I checking in with each other, because I think it's important. I think it's something that we need to do as a people. If you're listening and you don't have someone to check in with, drop a comment, just reach out to us somehow. And we're going to
become part of the conversation.
Become part of the conversation.
Pull up a chair.
Yeah. And it's not just, we're going to text you and comment with you. We'll do that too, but people need people right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's, I mean, I hear over and over and over that we need to be hunkering down and watching out for our people and keeping each other safe.
Yeah.
And I think what you were saying a minute ago of like allowing ourselves permission to laugh and to enjoy, it helps us, like you said, to be there for other people. And my sister said something very similar to me the other day. She said it's like the cliche of put the oxygen mask on yourself first.
Yep. Yep.
It's a cliche, but it's that's what we have to do. We have to be in a place where we can be present for others. And I know I wasn't there. Like when I was at the peak crisis, I wasn't able to be there for anybody. My job was just to stay on the planet and to
stay breathing. Yeah.
Yeah. Stay breathing. Yep. And, yep. And it's really interesting because at one point peak crisis, something made me smile for like an instant. And I actually said to myself, what do you have to be smiling about? Why are you smiling? You know, like what do you have?
You.
Yeah, how dare you? You know, it was like I chided myself for breaking character. You know, of of being a horribly messed up grieving individual. You know, like how dare you break character and actually smile? And I think that was so key to coming to another place is just learning how to still enjoy life, even when it's messy. And I think we throw that word messy around a lot, but I mean, there's a difference between messy, like I've got a lot going on, and messy, like what we see swirling around about us now.
Out of control.
Out of control.
Yeah.
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 So, yeah. So we're going to embrace the messy a little bit. And we're just going to have our nice little introduction conversation. We're going to introduce our guests. We'll come back after the interview with the guest for a little debrief. Sometimes the guest might be here for the introduction and for the debrief. We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah. No rules.
No rules. And it's nowhere. It is nowhere. And we're going to be good at being nowhere.
Yep.
And we are going to be absolutely good at going nowhere. So... it might be a minute between podcasts, between episodes, because life be life and the world
life
be world.
Be lifing.
but
it also may not. We don't know. We don't know.
Yeah. We'll get them out here and they'll be here to listen to. So, tell us a little, just briefly, we're going to introduce our guest when
super tell us briefly.
Yeah,
this
I'm your friend.
Super. Yes. I brought a friend.
It was a great conversation.
With a friend.
Yeah, we had a great conversation. So.
Yep. Yeah. We recently invited my good friend Marla Taviano to our studio, and Marla is I'm not going to tell you too much more here because you're going to meet her as it went down in real life in just a moment. But with. Yeah, Laura Beth, did you have something to add?
No, I was just going to say I met her like 15 minutes before we started recording, and by the end of it, we were fast friends. I mean, it was just a really easy conversation,
human
to be deep and vulnerable and connect with, and everything that we've just said about people needing people right now. This is one of the people we need. So
she is absolutely a treasure. We all need Marla Taviano in our lives. And yet, side note, they got to know each other because I was like 15 minutes late. And, by the time I came back, they're making friends to go to the Hamptons together. And, you know.
Yeah, we were debating when she came on whether we were going to invite her or not. But
without further ado, we're going to introduce Marla and bring her on into the studio, let you in on our conversation we had.
How Do I Look? A poem from the book Whole by Marla Taviano. How do I look? I used to be a conservative evangelical Christian. Now I'm just chilling in the fitting room, trying some other identities on for size, deciding if I'm ready to commit, and keeping the receipt just in case.
And so, Cynthia, you have known our guest longer than I have, since I have known her. It is, what's today? March 10th of 2025, so I have known her for 15 minutes.
Well, okay. I could do a little better.
Okay, all right.
I could do a little better than that. It's been a couple of years now, unbelievably, since Marla and I connected. We connected over our books, and Marla is a poet, and I know that our audio audience can't see this, but I am holding up her three beautiful books. They are a trilogy,
And our audio audience will be able to click on the links in the show notes to go see said beautiful books.
Yeah, so like at this moment, a listener could just, you know, hit pause and go to those links and look at the books. They won't see all the signs together.
They should buy them.
They should.
They should. They might as well.
Yeah, so I mean, pause.
Yeah.
Click. Buy. Click.
Buy.
Come back.
Unpause.
Yeah.
So let's go. Pause. Press. Purchase.
The three P's.
Poems.
Poems.
Please.
Proceed.
All right.
Yeah.
So, are we done here?
We're done. Yeah, our work is done here.
It's a wrap.
Thank you for joining us. Yeah.
We went absolutely nowhere as planned.
pretty much.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
Marla actually has a very rich publishing history, which we might, you know, we'll dabble into. There was the pre, and then there's the now. In a previous life, Marla was like a really good Christian wife, and
in a previous life, Marla was a really good Christian. I can't wait to hear what.
Well, that's also true.
Yeah. So we all relate. I mean, we all absolutely relate. So, yeah.
All true things. Marla wrote books about Christian wifing and and parenting, Christian parenting. And I think Marla has kind of disavowed those books, although I believe they've been used for art. Is that – that's true, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll get into that. the books that I think that Marla is going to stand by now are right here. so really, they're an odyssey, a trilogy that goes from Unbelieve, which is poems that, as you may guess, kind of chronicle Marla's like deconstruction, for you know the term that we all use, but you know the kind of the shift, the transformation from I was one thing and now I'm another thing. And Jaded, Marla calls the bitchy little sister, because as the title suggests, you know, there's some feelings expressed. And then we get to Whole. And I'm holding up these books like I'm in front of my classroom and everybody's seeing them. Like I'm just holding them up because this is what I do at school. Yeah. So now I'm holding up this big, or this beautiful book, Whole, and it's got flowers and it's all in bloom. And it's chronicling the journey to wholeness. So we've kind of made that full arc, the full narrative arc in those three books. And they are... you could sit down and read through all these poems in an evening, but you'll be thinking about them for a long time. So, that's kind of bringing us up to date now to Marla, to Marla's work. But, you know...
And some new projects in the works.
And some new projects that that we will talk about. And, Marla's always doing projects. She actually put out a book all by herself called Cut Up My Poems, and where she's inviting us to. Marla's into cutting up books, which I think that's like a thing that she's doing therapeutically for fun right now. And here I am just talking all about Marla instead of letting Marla talk. But
I love this. This is great, Cynthia. Can I just take you everywhere? Where is Cynthia?
Yeah, Cynthia's a great hype girl.
She is.
No, this is good. So that's some great context for your work and for what you're doing. I do want to take a step back, Marla, and just kind of ask you, how are you showing up to the space today? I have another good friend on another podcast who does this with her guests, and I love the moment. And it's just what is it? What are you anticipating? What are you excited about? What kind of knocked you for a loop today, other than Cynthia's technological problems? just give us a little glimpse into Marla in the moment.
Well, today in particular, it rained the whole entire day, and I did not have to leave the house, as I most days do not have to leave the house. I work from home, and my three young adult daughters live with me, and they run all the errands and do all the cooking and the cleaning and all of that. So I'm spoiled
rotten. Isn't that a great stage of life? Yeah.
Love it. I put some finishing touches on my latest book. We can talk about that later, but I'm sending it out to beta readers, and I've been kind of blown away by the response. I had 38 people tell me that they would love to read this book, and I can't get 38 people to like read the books that I published. So I'm like, yeah, woo, read the book. What threw me for a loop is I opened up, this is a couple weeks ago, but opened up a letter from the guy who has done my taxes for the last however many years. And I thought it was just the form you fill out every year. But what it was, he sent it 2 months ago and it said, I'm not doing taxes anymore. You had to find a new person. I was like, oh, shoot, because I have all this self-employment stuff and I don't understand it. So I just went onto the government website and was trying to figure that out.
They still have a website, the government?
Yeah, I don't know. A part of me is just like, screw it. I'm not going to even pay my taxes. Why would I pay taxes
at this point?
Yeah. No, but as a queer trans woman, they barely are wanting to acknowledge I exist.
Exactly. So exactly. Yeah. So, how am I coming to the space? So we started this at 7 PM. It's now 7:31 PM because like you said, Cynthia, it took a while to find us.
This is where all of us from the South say bless her heart.
But most of my podcast episodes begin with me showing up late after a technical problem. That's just part of the shit.
I
didn't feel any effects from the time change yesterday, but then I was thinking that I had hours until our podcast interview, and I looked down and it says 5:49. I was like, 5:49? That's really close to 7. Like I literally thought I had like 4 hours. So then knowing that it was the two of you, I mean, Cynthia and I have had we go way back and we've met in real life and stayed in the same place and had so much fun. And Laura Beth, I just knew from listening to you. I listened to your episodes where you interviewed Cynthia and then Cynthia interviewed you. So I wasn't really worried about anything, me needing to be too professional, too put together, too whatever.
True story. Very true story.
I love that.
Obviously, going nowhere, right? So I'm
right.
The pressure's off.
This makes my heart smile that we have effectively set the bar
so low,
as intended,
for
this project.
Okay. So. Here's the thing that I will say in this world of AI and all this stuff, like the way that I am fighting it is with messiness, with imperfection. AI's taken my writing jobs. Fine. I'll just make some poem art, And in the last 5 years, especially after a divorce and moving back to the States and a pandemic and a bunch of stuff happening, that's what it's all about to me. Let's just put our imperfect selves out there, and it gives other people hope, and it gives them, I think it inspires bravery. If I'm going to put myself out imperfectly, then they can do that too. And otherwise we're never going to put ourselves out there, because how do we get perfect? I don't know how to get perfect. So I'm just happy to be here chatting with both of you, and we'll see where this goes for the next 30 minutes or so.
So one thing that Laura Beth and I have been talking a lot about, as we've talked about our podcast and what we want to do with it this coming year, and even just in our own conversations with each other, we've been talking about the concept of peace and resistance. And this is just me talking this part here, but I've been reading a lot of articles. And also in my personal interactions, I've heard a lot of talk about how this moment that we're having right now in our country and in the state of things, it's different. I mean, like 8 years ago, a lot of us felt the exact same way in some respects that we do now, but this time is different somehow. if you think back to 2017, 16, 17. After the election in I think it was January 2017, the very first week of January, I was at a writing conference that happened to be in D.C., and the writers all just marched down the White House, and it was just like that just set the tone for the rest of it. There was just protests all the time, and people were very loud, and people were demanding change and expressing themselves. We had the Women's March. We had all kinds of things. But this time, it's different. This time, it seems as though what I'm hearing is we're hunkering down, we're taking care of our people, we're processing, we're thinking. And there's not a lot of that loud. There's not a lot of the noise. So I think we're kind of processing. What does that mean? And how do we, because terrible things are happening, as Laura Beth just said moments ago, you know, that feeling like almost that invisibility as a trans woman, feeling like, being like she's being raced, and
yeah,
how do we resist the awful things that are happening to our friends, to family members, to other people we love? How do we resist in this quiet way? How do we take care of each other? How do we plan ahead even when everything's really feeling shaky right now? And how do we, in terms of going nowhere, when sometimes all we want to do is run away from the things that are happening right now. Like, Marla, how would you say, your experience, I'm going to ask you about how you made peace for yourself is what so let's put that in your head. You talked about your divorce earlier, and I know that you experienced a whole upending of your personal life, almost like a lot of us are feeling an upending of the whole of society almost right now, but your whole life personally was upended several years ago. And I have watched the positivity and the confidence and the care for others that you just exude, for the past few years. And that comes from a place of peace. That comes from a place of knowing who you are and knowing what you believe and being really solid in your core. And I think my question for you is, how did you get there when you had this personal crisis? And I'll just start with that. I'm not asking double barreled questions. We don't do that because we'll never get to the second part. So yeah, how did you create that peace?
Wow. that is a great question. It's strange to me that you're asking about peace when I actually feel, I do feel peace, in many respects. And I also feel very anxious. My anxiety, I've always dealt with it, but it kind of skyrocketed during the pandemic and then when my ex-husband left. And in March of 2020, we moved back from Cambodia to the States, and all the anxiety around packing up everything that we owned and moving back to a country where we were from, but hadn't lived in for 5 years, and we were in a different state and had to leave my daughter in Cambodia.
And pause right there. In case our listeners don't know, Marla was a missionary. That's why Marla was in Cambodia. Marla Rambert was a good Christian wife.
Marla started out as a missionary, and Marla had a lot of like exponential deconstruction happen on the mission field.
Which I want to name happens more often than is publicized or is known in most Christian circles.
I would say my doubts and all that started 2008, 2009, 2010. And we didn't move to Cambodia until January 2015. But I remember just learning a lot of things and posting things on Facebook and making people angry from the other side of the world. I remember, I think, was it 2015 that gay marriage was legalized in the U.S. and people were putting flags and stuff in their Facebook profiles, and a bunch of these teens in Cambodia did it. And the church that we were at was like, the people, like the pastor and his wife, were yelling at people like, you can't put those rainbows in these flags. You don't know what that means. So we're against that. So that was kind of this whole storm. My sister ended up disowning me in 2017 from the States when I was in Cambodia, based solely on things that I had posted, because I was just waking up to everything really, really fast. Is that me making that noise? Do you hear that?
I heard it. I don't know who it is. It's like a wind.
I'm not moving or anything.
Is it me?
I don't know.
Oh, good. Okay. You're the important one,
okay.
I think.
All right. Whatever Laura Beth hears.
I don't know if that's true, but I'll receive it. Yeah.
Whatever Laura Beth hears is the official audio. So.
It's actually really, just for the record, it's really not. It's going to upload all three of our audios. And
okay.
It's fine. It's all right.
Don't get technical on us.
Yeah. It's all good.
Okay, so where was I? Yeah, things were...
Yes, sister disowned you.
Yeah. Things were changing. I'm like learning all these things. It was in 2017 when I finally flipped the switch to become queer affirming, because I had wanted to for so long and fought it for so long. I was like, I just can't make this make sense. And looking back now, I can't remember if I did make it make sense with the Bible, like after reading God and the Gay Christian or something, or if I said, who cares what the Bible says? I don't care what it says about that, which is ultimately the conclusion I came to in a lot of areas. But as far as peace in my heart and in my soul, it was hard fought. It was rough, like, to get to that place where, yes, him leaving, my ex-husband leaving, was unexpected. We had not been doing well for a really long time, but I didn't know that he'd been cheating on me for 4 of the 5 years that we lived in Cambodia. So found that out 4 months later, just trying to figure out, how am I going to make a living here on my own in this new place after being a missionary? And I think as I deconstructed and I'm writing about this and going through things with my kids and my ex leaving and all of that, just, I had already been doing so much work, I think, that helped me along. Like, I had been on this anti-racism journey, this queer affirming journey, this deconstructing journey, this loving my neighbor journey, getting rid of toxic beliefs journey. And I just kept going with it. So as more and more people were waking up in the States, like in 2016 and 2020, and I was already a little further down the road, I think, than a lot of people, which helped. And it was tough sometimes to not have that faith to fall back on, but realizing that everything I thought I had in my faith, in my Christianity, in my religion, in my relationship with God, was actually all inside of me already. I didn't need all of those things that I thought that I needed. When I was writing in my journal to God, maybe I wasn't really writing to God. Like, maybe that was just me working through some things. So did a lot of reading, did a lot of writing, and just looking back and seeing all the things that I have survived and been through in my life, and knowing that I can continue, and just working hard to become whole. And what that means to me is being more and more of who I am every day. So figuring out who I am, separating out the good Christian girl from me, like the love that I have in my heart for people. I had that as an evangelical Christian. A lot of the things that I chose to do and believe as an evangelical Christian were based on love. But when I realized that those things weren't all that loving, and then like parsing that out and getting the beliefs untangled, detangled from the love that I could keep and have in my heart. So I don't know that I answered your question. I don't know that I can really articulate and crystallize where the peace comes from. The easy answer that I would have given long ago is that it's the peace that passes understanding. Mm-hmm. It's God gave me this peace that I can't explain. And I wouldn't say that now, but just leaning on love and being committed to loving people, being pursuing my own wholeness and everyone else's wholeness. Like my sister who disowned me told me that sometimes love feels like hate, Marla. And she was referring, and the first time she said that, she was referring to, I should tell gay people that they're going to hell. That would be the most loving thing to do, so I can try to save their soul. So it feels hateful, but it's actually loving.
Actually loving.
Yeah, I've heard that theology. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, this is my first time.
Well, you what? You've never heard this before?
Never heard that before.
No. It's a new one.
Yeah. Well, and I think one thing I was going to ask you to do in the context of that is define peace, but I think you just did. Mm-hmm. And I think what I heard was, and I'm going to take your words and kind of make a definition out of it.
Yeah, do that.
I'm off. But leaning on love in the pursuit of wholeness as a definition of peace really resonates with me.
Yeah.
So peace is the state of mind of leaning on love in the pursuit of wholeness. And those two things, leaning on love and in the pursuit of wholeness, are completely within us. Those, that we can, mm-hmm. we have agency over those. It's challenging with the noise that's around us, with all the challenges in your life. Everything you've talked about, your sister, you know, doing what so many of us have experienced in that context, and leaving the mission field, and finding out your husband's infidelity, and that was sounded like a really nice way to say that, and I really kind of wanted to say finding out he was a cheating bastard, but I don't know him.
Do that.
So
yeah,
I mean,
he was.
Okay,
yep,
all right, all right, fine.
I think that's what jaded 10-14.
Okay, yeah. All right. I mean, that, I walk that line between diplomat and going nowhere. So, all of those things are challenging that agency, but leaning on love and pursuing wholeness are things that are completely within our own realm. And if peace is the culmination of the process of those two things. So I loved your answer. I mean, it's mysterious, but not beyond understanding.
Right. And what I heard, there is. And I think you did a really good job of parsing through that to get to that definition of peace. And when you said, Laura Beth, about how those things were already like residing within her, they're residing within all of us. And I think that that kind of echoes what I was hearing most, what you're saying, Marla, is that you, inside of yourself, had access to all of this. We often think that we don't. Like as evangelical Christians, we're taught that we are weak, we are nothing, we are powerless. And I think that theology is really hard to completely let go of and to realize that, wait, I am a human being. And if God has indeed created me in his image, and if he has indeed created me, period, if that's the way it works, he created us to be like powerful and dynamic and to have answers.
Dare we say divine?
Dare we say divine? You know? I think that Walt Whitman wrote Song of Myself, and it's a celebration of personhood and of all the things that he can do and see, and in the celebration of his person. And he believed that he was divine, and that he had divinity within him. Let me just, no, he didn't believe, like, he wasn't, like, he didn't give out Kool-Aid, yeah, you know? God. I was like, no. Yeah, but he wasn't going around claiming to be Messiah or anything. He was basically just spreading this idea that we all have divinity within us. And not everyone liked that belief of, no, we are created to be whole, to have strength and wisdom and answers. And I think that a lot of evangelical Christianity balks at that idea. But if I'm hearing you correctly, it's that realization of your own agency that was part of what saved you and part of what made you able to tackle these almost insurmountable challenges that you were facing.
Yeah, because I had given God the credit for every single thing that was good that I ever did in my whole entire life. And then I took the blame for every single thing that didn't go well or that was wrong, mm-hmm. or blamed Satan or whatever. But I have poems like about everything that you're saying. I wanted to say, oh, I have a poem about that. I have a poem about that. But I write about that, where I'm no longer giving God any of the credit or any of the blame. I will take all of it myself. Now, I'm not saying that there are things that happen in the world that are not my fault. I'm just absolutely sick of it, if you start to listen to people and how they talk, any little tiny thing good, when there's a million bad things, that one little tiny thing, oh, God did that, God did that, God did that. But God didn't do any of the other shit that happened. It's just like, that was whatever. And I am so done with that. So sick of that. And my sister, back to the sister who disowned me, I find myself talking about her all the time on podcasts. Like,
we can pause and bless her heart too, just because. Yeah.
But aside from the whole love feels like hate and all of that, she also only wanted to talk about Christ and him crucified. And there's like nothing inside of her. She's dead to whatever. And it's only Christ in her, Christ in her. She didn't want to do any personality tests or anything that had anything to do about her. Cause it's less of me, more of him, less of me, more of him. And I just got so tired of all of that. And I was just talking to someone the other day, when you're saying, like, if there is a God, and if God is creator, and if God is creating us in God's image, then don't you think that we probably are, like, we're so unique and so amazing and so diverse? Like, don't you think that if God could create all of these animals and these landforms and these rivers and lakes and rainbows, and all, you just look out at nature and how there's a million different kinds, everything is different and beautiful, then don't you think all the people would also be different and beautiful? Unbelieve, a poem from the book Unbelieve by Marla Taviano. If becoming a heretic is what I have to do to love people fully and completely, it's a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
We've pressed on a little bit, but we were talking in our pre-conversation just about things that we published, and then immediately or not long after that, we're like, oh, maybe not, but it's printed, and okay, that will cut up into nice artwork someday. But I wrote in my book at one point that I had deconstructed to a point that I said I had let go of all of the conclusions that I had been taught and everything that I'd come to. And I said, God, here's what I was down to. God is either sovereign or God is not. And that's what I stood by. That's in the book. That's what's in there. And the first public reading I had, and somebody was like, what did you mean by that? And I'm listening to it, I'm like, yeah, that's bullshit. What does that mean? What is the sovereignty of God? And so I took it a step back. I was like, God is, you know, and I'm still in a position where I can lean into the isness of God, but that's about as far as I'm willing to be certain in this space, because God is so much more than we can imagine. God is so much more. And as soon as we start to say anything more than is, we're getting creative about God. And we're starting to build God into something that we're comfortable with and we can grasp and we can explain and understand. And we release the beautiful mystery that is God, and we give up the beautiful mystery that is each other. If I believe that I can know and explain God, there is no mystery to me and Marla anymore. And how exciting is that? What's the point of this interview? What's the point of this podcast? You know, but getting to know you and getting to meet you and engage with you in that journey and everything about that is exciting. And there is mystery to you. And that's part of what makes this a great world to live in.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really freeing to admit that I didn't know everything. And then to also... To realize that I don't want to, and that I don't care if I know everything. I just had a really, really in-depth, long conversation in person with my parents, who are very conservative evangelical Christians. They live in Ohio. I live in South Carolina. I see them a couple times a year when they come down.
And I met them somehow.
Oh, yeah.
I ended up meeting them.
You did, Cynthia. That's wild.
It is.
In North Carolina. That's right.
In North Carolina.
Yeah. So long story short, I won't go into it. I wrote about it on my Substack this week in two big parts because it was so long. And I had came back from this conversation, tried to dump everything in a Google Doc that I remembered. But I was... Okay, now I lost track of where I was going to go. What were you just talking about, Laura Beth? What was the last thing that you said before I... Do you remember?
there is great beauty in the mystery of each other and how we
engage
with each other.
So we're going on this whole big thing back and forth. And my parents, my dad said at some point that loving God is the most important thing. And I said, well, how do you know that someone loves God or whatever? He's like, you worship him. I'm like, well, worship him how? What does that mean? So then I was saying that loving your neighbor would be how I would be able to tell if someone loved God. Like, that's the only thing that I would accept is how do you love your neighbor? Then I can tell. And then my mom had asked me what she said, well, people can't love their neighbor if they don't love God. And I said, that is bullshit. And I don't think I've ever cussed it, like to my parents before. And then I just said it again. I was like, that is bullshit. And I started talking about my Muslim neighbors who, when my ex-husband had a heart attack, we lost all our money. We moved into this apartment complex with mostly Somali refugees. They fed us meals on their living room floor. They loved us. Like, I have so many examples. I was telling them about one of my friends who is a pastor and a lesbian, because according to my parents, like if you're...
Wait. You could be
true,
a pastor
Laura,
and a lesbian?
True. It's true. It's a true story.
Laura, that's never heard of anything like that.
I'll tell you about it later. I'll explain how it can be. No, but I was trying to explain to them in all
Clutching
ways
my
that,
pearls.
I could, that I am so sick of Christians who want people to quote unquote believe certain things, but then their actions don't matter. And we're seeing so many Christians like full of hate, blah, blah, blah. But my mom asked me, she said, let me just ask you a really big question. And she said, do you believe Jesus is God? And I just looked at her and I said, I don't know. And then she asked me again. I was like, I don't know. And then she said, do you believe that Jesus is God, like Son of God, died on the cross, da da da. She said the whole thing. And I
Double
was like,
down.
No, I don't believe it, Mom. I said, because I don't believe in a god who has to kill his own son so that people don't have to go to this fiery hell that he created for the people who, like, I was going in this roundabout thing. I was like, make that make sense to me.
And that is never mentioned.
Yeah.
Specifically in their scripture.
Exactly. And then my dad actually said, I can't make it make sense. And I was like, thank you. Thank you for admitting that you cannot make that make sense, because it doesn't make sense. But I realized when I said to my mom, I don't know. I don't know. The actual truth is I don't care. I don't care. I don't care about any of that. I don't care right now if Jesus died on the cross, if Jesus was reanimated. All of that means nothing to me without love, like love for my neighbor. And so that's why I've said over and over and over again the last few years, I don't care what you believe, as long as your beliefs aren't harming people. Like, any belief that you hold that is harming actual people on this actual earth, to hell with that belief. Otherwise, like, I have friends who are pastors, straight friends who are pastors, gay friends who are pastors. I have friends who go to church 3 times a week. I have a lot of Christian friends, but I'm not, I don't really care to be friends anymore with people who have beliefs that are harming fellow human beings. Like, I cannot do it. And so for me personally, it got too much. I have a poem that says, like, if I have to choose between loving Jesus and loving other people, I can't make this a throuple. I'm choosing them. Like, it's just, I'm choosing them. I'm tired. I'm not going to try to put this in a box anymore. So now, any person that I want to love, I can love. There's no restriction, no box. And I know a lot of Christians who can do that too. And maybe someday I'll feel like going back to church and not being in a box. I don't know. But for now, it's just, nope. I'm going to love people and celebrate them for who they are and be committed to their wholeness and the hell with everything else.
It makes so much sense, because you can ask Laura Beth. I said to her, like, probably about a month ago, that my whole entire theology is just love. That's all. Mm-hmm. And I think that love, if we are to take this scripture and believe it literally, God is love.
Yes.
So, you know, if God is love, if he personifies love, any act of love or any act done in love is done in the name of God anyway. So I don't think you can go wrong with the theology.
Unless, like my sister did, she worked around that by saying that sometimes love feels like hate.
Hate and love, they're kind of the same.
Exactly how she did it, because the Bible does say God is love. And I could refute so much of what she said. Her husband wrote 12 pages, a 12-page document that he sent to me and the rest of the family with all of my heresies, everything I'd ever written on Facebook. 99% of it came from the Apostle Paul. And came from Paul? Yeah. So there's like...
Oh, so, Paul would be sad. So, I'm going to just say that out loud.
Well, yeah, because my brother, who's an Anglican priest, told me that he could either A, refute everything from all the other books of the Bible, or he could refute all of it using only Paul's words. Because you can pretty much argue for anything using the words of Paul, depending on how
or Leviticus.
You, or, yeah, depending on yeah. how you want to use
Leviticus
it.
For so, sure.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and the biblical arguments are so tricky, and there's so many great texts out there, and we have some guests that we're going to bring on to have some of those conversations. I'm looking at the clock ticking along here. We could go on for a long time because this is a whole lot of fun. I do want to hear more about, in light of all of this and where you are, and you know, what has everything that you've just talked about, those conversations with your family, those all of these developments in your life, the dumpster fire become raging inferno that is the country right now.
Yeah.
This next project. how is that? And it's a revamp of an old project. So tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, I don't usually talk about this because I don't care about it as much. And I'm not quite sure what compelled me to redo this. But I unschooled my kids. They went to public school through kindergarten, fourth grade, and fifth grade. And then I unschooled them. And I wrote a book about it in 2014. And it has consistently sold, even though I don't talk about it. And so I'm revamping it from 2025, Marla. It was going to be the 10th anniversary edition, but then I didn't get it done last year. So it's like the 11th anniversary edition. But I was...
What is time?
I was just talking to someone on another podcast a few weeks ago. And she was asking me, like, what my we're talking about like what my thing is, what my brand is, my niche or whatever. I was like, you know what? I don't really know. I have all these interests or whatever. And she said, listening to you talk, it feels like your brand is like you don't want to be in a box, like unconventional. And I pulled up a poem that I had written, which is called Un. And it is like, I unschooled, I unchurched, I unmarried, I am unconvinced by your unoriginal argument. Like I go on and on and on. And I'm realizing that has been kind of my thing, where I don't like to be in a box. I don't like to do things the way that people say that I should do them. I like to question things. And it's not just so that I can be cool or be a rebel or go against the flow. It really is about, I don't want to be indoctrinated. I don't think any of us should just do things because we're told. I think there should be like a really good reason. So I did that, even though I had that rebel spirit in me all along. I really wanted to be good. And I really believed that my beliefs were right. And so I tried so hard to squash any doubts or any of that. And I think there's so much that we don't question. And I want people to do that because I believe that's when people will have freedom. When you have people who are afraid of foreigners, afraid of queer people, afraid of Black people, it's because they cannot.
Heaven forbid there be a queer Black foreigner.
Oh, but, no. You know, Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. They can't stretch their minds outside of what someone has told them. This is how it is. This is what a woman's role is. This is who does the dishes. This is what a good Christian wife does. This is what a person should wear. This is how feminine you should be. Or this is how, like, we're put in all of that, and it's meant to control us. And if we start to question those things and we say, no, I don't fit here, or I don't want to be here, and I don't want you to have control over me. So yes, it's a new project. It's unschooling. My youngest is 19, so I'm not even officially unschooling anymore. But I'm going to have another project that's going to be called Unschooling for Life, because I think that should be, it's not about where you go to school. Like I have pastor friends and all that. I have tons of friends whose kids go to public school. I am all for that. It's not about that. It's about questioning why things are a certain way and who is benefiting from them being this way and who is being harmed because they are this way. And that has kind of been the through line recently for me studying whitewashed history, reading more books by Black and Indigenous authors, questioning gender roles, all of these things is who's benefiting here, who's being harmed, and why are we letting this continue in this way?
I'm just curious, in talking about not being indoctrinated anymore, have you talked about being undoctrinated?
I don't know.
Like, okay. Even that, all right. Well, you can have
exact
it.
Exact word. Okay.
Yeah, just
is that a word? No, it's
it
not.
Is now. It it's is been now. On a podcast.
Okay. Laura Beth, I think that's your word. Yeah.
Podcast.
Like, it sounds so right, but I guess I'm thinking of indoctrinated. I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, by pure linguistic structure, doctrinated is the root word.
Yeah,
indoctrinated
right.
is the prefix. Yes. Un is just as legitimate a prefix.
Yes.
So I'm legitimizing.
I'm an English professor, and I approve this announcement. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I definitely want to be indoctrinated.
An English professor, a poet, and a badass bitch.
Walk into a
that
bar.
That is all it takes. That is all it takes for a word to be legitimate.
Okay, speaking of, I do want to say really quick when you're talking about words, I have this, we won't talk about this much, but this book, What Makes You Fart? Find Your Passion and Figure Out Your Life by the Time You Finish Reading This Book is actually my newest book. And I did invent a word, and it's whole farted, which is doing things with your whole heart. But without telling the whole backstory, when you're relaxed and happy, you fart because your body is doing what it's supposed to be doing. I fart in, in bookstores. I fart in libraries because I am happy. So when people ask me, how do I know what I love? I'm like, what makes you fart? So that's what that book is about. But I
is this scientifically?
It is. It's your parasympathetic nervous system. Yes,
it is. No, I mean, I can vouch for this. Yeah, yeah there is. Yeah.
I love this. Okay.
So I trademarked.
I do English. That's all I do. So
I trademarked this word. I wasn't going to do it, but my daughter, who didn't always have a lot of faith in me, was like, I think you should do it. I think it's a good word, and you should trademark it. So I'm in the process right now.
I am a fan of the word, of the trademark, of all of these things.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I had an experience recently where I was teaching for the first time in a while, not preaching, which I do periodically anyway, but I was actually teaching and did a whole thing and everything. And it was in a moderate space and I wasn't sure how it was going to be received or accepted. And so I did the class and it was a pre-service. It was in a church. And so I went into the church service and I sat down in the church service and like right after we weren't 10 minutes into the service and everything was moving. And I looked at my friend, I was sitting and she was like, I gotta go. And she thought that something made me mad about the service, which that's very good. And I was just like, no, like everything, I was feeling such at peace.
There you go.
There I was. The body was like, okay, we can do this now.
So you might be the farting preacher. I mean, that might be your thing. Oh, Cynthia's back.
Yeah.
Laura Beth wasn't going to mention that you were gone, but I blew your cover.
I was trying to pull it off. But, oh, well.
I'm intermittently on the podcast today. I'm just, you know, I come in, I go out.
Did you have to fart? Is that why you left? You can do that here.
Yes, I was embarrassed. I just wasn't comfortable enough myself. Yeah. And I just had to excuse myself.
We got to work on that. So you need to find that inner peace that allows you to feel comfort. And to
right on air. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. For the group.
Yeah. There you go. Well, now that you are back, now that you're back, it's time to, we do need to wrap this up. I really could go on for a long time, and we might come back and do this after the project is done. And just talk.
Should I ask Marla the traditional last question?
Absolutely, you should.
Okay. So Marla,
I said that a little aggressively. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I took it well.
Let me try again. Cynthia, would you please, my dear friend, ask Marla what you have taught me to ask?
Hurry before you disappear again.
I'd be happy to. But yes, okay, we've got to get this in here. We don't know how long I'm going to be able to stay. Marla, is there anything that we should have asked you today that we did not ask you?
Oh, my goodness. yes. I have been when I'm not feeling like I want to write, and I can't write all day long, I have been making poem art and other art with my hands. You mentioned that I cut up books. So
I'm a much bigger fan of than banning them, by the way.
Yes. So I buy
not the same
used kids books from Goodwill for 50 cents. And I cut out the illustrations. Then I cut out poems from my books and glue them on that match an illustration. So I've got Frog and Toad. I've got Sesame Street. I've got all of these characters. And like another thing that I've done, I have some slips right here that I'll have the gay lifestyle and the gay agenda. And I put those on Frog and Toad because Arnold LaBelle, their creator, was gay. And these two guys lived together as their whole life. And so he's admitted and said that he modeled them after a gay relationship. But then recently, after the inauguration, when I didn't have the words, I just started putting one word, fuck, right on these illustrations, because that was the only word that came to mind. And I wrote a post about it because I had people say to me, Marla, why the language? And I said, why the language is because I'm really sick of Christians throwing their pearls to a racist, rapist felon while he harms all of these people every single day, new groups of people that he's harming. And yet they are offended by a word made up of four letters that doesn't really mean anything and also doesn't bring any harm to any people. And so that is a way.
It doesn't give meaning unless they give it meaning.
Right.
They clearly are by their offense. Yeah.
Right. But even if they're, they're giving it meaning, but if I'm just saying it as a word, like shoot, fuck, like it's just, so just trying to say, listen, I can't deal anymore with the things that you think are these grave sins when the actual sins are harm that you have committed against people. That's the flip for me. When they're so concerned with sex and people's genitals and the words that they're saying and all of these things that are largely irrelevant and no one's business, and yet they're not concerned with, anyway, we all know all the things that they're not concerned with. So making art with my hands and cutting those things up and sharing them, and people resonate with them, and I send them to people, and there's just been something about it that's therapeutic over and over again while I'm doing it, when I share it, when people respond, and I love it. So yeah, that's the thing I want to share.
This is my piece.
What does it say?
Okay, so I'm holding up a piece of Marla's poem art, and it says evolution. It's the word evolution. And we have a scene with Cinderella and the three stepsisters. And the conversation is going, some people who knew me 15 years ago see who I am today, and they just aren't having it. But there are so many others who love me just as I am. That's how I want to love.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
And Marla's like, oh,
thank you.
I know. We could be inspired by our own artwork. We absolutely should be inspired by our own artwork.
Oh, I actually am. I even laugh at my own poems sometimes. Oh, that's funny. That's a good one.
I think that's great.
Well, this has been absolutely fantastic, and this is the beginning of a journey. It's a continuation of y'all's journey, and thank you for allowing me to crash it and jump on for the ride, because it's going to be a fun one.
Yay! Thank you so much, Laura Beth. Thank you, Cynthia.
Yeah. Absolutely. This has been great.
It's been a really good time. So, and look forward to talking to you again.
Yeah. Love you guys.
Woohoo!
Hey there. A poem from the book Unbelieve by Marla Taviano. Speaking your truth looks good on you. Just wanted you to know.
it's so much to think about, so much to process there, and I will be doing that for a while. That's the joy of editing, is that I get to listen to it over and over and over again. But yeah, I mean, I think what I am walking away from this feeling, more than thinking right now, is just how human spirituality is. You know, we think we so often just try and make spirituality something so other, so something so out there. And the conversation with Marla just about her spiritual journey and the deconstruction and the finding her space in this world to keep moving through it was so spiritual and so real and so here. And yeah, I was just, like I said, there'll be a lot to think about, hopefully, for all of us.
No. Definitely. I mean, she has such big love for others. And
yes.
I think that no matter where anyone is in their faith journey, even if it seems like nowhere, even if you've got faith that is just like this podcast, you know, just doesn't seem to be going anywhere. I think if there's love, I think love leads. And I think that by love leading. When love leads, I think that it brings us toward God, whatever God ends up being, whatever, you know, the mystery of God, whatever that mystery is, love is going to lead us to that, toward that, to finding whatever that is. I know that's vague, but
yeah, but intentionally. I mean,
intentionally,
I think that's the whole
vague
point.
Exactly.
That's the whole point, is that we're not going to
we don't
it's
know.
It's beautifully undoctrinated of you.
Yes. Yes, it's my own doctrine, which is a great word. And I mean, that's what I think Marla's leaning into, the I don't know space. She I don't know so well. I always feel a little uncomfortable not knowing, but she's owning not knowing. And
yeah,
I think that's great.
Yeah, I like to talk about mysticism in the context of mystery for the sake of mystery, not mystery as a problem to be solved, but mystery for the beauty of mystery. And so leaning into the not knowing as an end, as a destination. It's not, I don't know, so I'm going to go figure it out. I'm going to work till I figure it out. It's I get to sit with all the wonderful that I don't know.
Gosh, that is such a concept, because as a writer, you always have to have a conclusion, right? Like, you just can't have this book, mystery or otherwise, and just kind of like, well, you know, I'm just going to let you sit with that. So,
well, guess what? We're not going to have one for this podcast episode.
No. So,
and probably most of our podcast episodes.
So my mind rebels against that, because I'm trained for story and structure and to sit in the mystery. I get that concept, because when you're mid-book and things are just, they can go this way, they can go that way, they can completely upend, they can wrap up nicely, we don't know. That's a fun part in a book. But do you keep reading if you don't, if you know there's no conclusion? And why? Why do you keep reading if there's no conclusion? I don't know.
Yeah, and define conclusion, define the purpose of conclusion, define journey in that context. Is a journey a journey without a conclusion?
Does it have to have a destination to be a journey?
Does it have to have a destination to be a journey?
Oh, you got me. You got me.
Yeah.
Just go out for a drive. Mm.
Yeah, and I think that's what that conversation with Marla felt like, in a very beautiful way.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to many more of these. We've got some more folks that we're going to talk to. And we're going to be here, and here is nowhere.
Here is nowhere.
Here is nowhere.
That's our motto. We need mugs. Here is nowhere.
Here is nowhere. And that's where we're going.
So. Merch. It's time for merch.
It's time for merch. Yep. Yeah. Good. Well, it's good to be with you again, friend.
Oh, same, friend. This is a good one.
Yep. do it again soon.
Real soon.